beginning to feel the Spirit of God this morning. And wherever you stand, I wonder if you can begin to connect to the Spirit of God and begin to pray that the God of heaven that hears our prayers, that hears our cries, would hear us where we sit, where we stand, where we are. I wonder if you can begin to lift up your hands and begin to pray that God will begin to move through the airways, that the Spirit of God will begin to touch us. Come on, wherever you are, just begin to lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we ask, God, that your pure anointing, God, will speak to your people. God, that you would minister to our minds, our souls, our hearts. God, we declare that you are worthy. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say praise the Lord to everyone that is tuned in, to everyone that is listening and watching. Amen. In your respective places, whether it be at home, in the comfort of your residence, or in the sanctuary, may it be a few. So grateful for the Spirit of God this morning, that God is a God that is omnipresent. He is everywhere, expanding through time, throughout the universe, and eternity simultaneously. And we are grateful that we can feel the Spirit of God. Amen. My wife and I were originally scheduled to be in Birmingham, Alabama, with the New Life Church this morning. Amen. And because of the present circumstance, amen, we as people of God have to be instant in season and out of season. And sometimes that instance calls for being flexible. And so we are grateful and we are honored and we are blessed that while you all are in your homes and in a different city and different state, we are here right now in Louisiana, in Houghton, Louisiana. It's a small country town just outside of Shreveport. Amen. And my father-in-law, Pastor Mark Frost, a great man of God, is building a great church. And there are a few of us here. And so if you happen to hear background amens or so clearly, and if not, we're going to do our best, amen, anyway, to preach what God has given us. I give honor to Pastor Sutton and their ministry. I give honor to the ministry here. Amen, amen. This is what it's about, that the body of Christ works together in unity, amen, to procure, amen, the word of God in this time. Amen. If you can turn your attention to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14 is where we will begin this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. Amen. Amen. If you are listening for the first time and this is not your home church, I pray that when the storm passes, that you make this home church your home church respectively. Amen. Because God is reaching for people, and it is not the will of God that we be without a shepherd. And I believe that God has united the body for such a time as this. Amen. So don't let this live stream be your last church service. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Everybody say preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I believe that in this moment, in this time, there is a component of life that we need as a necessity. And that is, we need the voice of God to speak to us every single day. We need God's voice more than ever. We need His Spirit more than any other time in human history, because we are on the precipice of the last days and God is speaking. And I pray that we have the ears to hear what God is saying to the church. One more time, if you can just connect with God and pray that the Lord will speak to us this morning. God, we need your voice. God, we need your Spirit. We need your hand. God, we need your Holy Ghost, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, to every saint, God, to every visitor, Lord, that's tuning in right now, Lord Jesus. I pray that your Spirit will begin to meet us in our homes and meet us where we stand, Lord. God, that your power and your anointing would transform our minds. God, we need your word to speak clear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. If you're already sitting, stay seated. And if you're not, you may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Paul is addressing the church. And he is addressing the church with what I believe is one of the most powerful components of spiritual living. Our relationship with God is a very unique and special relationship. The relationship between a God and his creator is one that the world has never seen, because there's only one God and we all are his creation. In that relationship, what makes it beautiful, what makes it unique, is the fact that God, in his infinite wisdom, he has concealed his visible glory. In that we serve an invisible God, but yet we have tangible ways of connecting with him. This is why we shout. This is why we clap our hands. This is why we operate in the physical to connect with the spiritual, because we're trying to build our relationship with God. And in that relationship, though we cannot see God, one of the most beautiful parts about a relationship is the communication that we build our lives, because we have the ability to commune with God, to talk with God, to speak with God, and God speaks back to us. Anybody thankful that God can still speak to us? And though we cannot see God, we hear God every day. Though he's invisible, though he is not revealed to the naked eye, we hear God speaking every day. And someone would say, well, how is God speaking? I cannot hear him. It is a fact that mankind, very few men can say that they've heard the voice of God audibly speaking to them. But I want to tell you that every day that you've wakened and your eyes have seen the light of day, God has been speaking to us. God has been revealing himself to mankind, because God loves us more than anything that we can imagine. God's grace is sufficient. God's love is everlasting. God's power is infinite. God is speaking, reaching, trying to touch his people. But how is he speaking to us? The Bible says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how can and shall we hear without a preacher? Everybody shout preacher.
Preacher.
I want to preach this morning with the help of the Holy Ghost from this title, from this subject, Long Live the Preacher. Everybody say it with me. Long live the preacher. If there is anything that is the most profound and powerful mechanism of earthly presence, it is the presence of a preacher. In the definition of preaching, I feel this morning, I feel compelled within the depths of my bones to go beyond the basic components of that definition. Because when you think of a preacher, you think of a person You think of an individual, one that speaks as the oracles of God, as the word of God commands a preacher or a speaker to speak. But for the sake of preaching this morning, I want to expand that definition, because there are preachers preaching this morning, but it is more and besides the ramifications or the regulations of a man. I want to preach about the preacher this morning. Long live the preacher.
Amen.
Yes. There are preachers preaching, and there are preachers preaching beyond the realm of the pulpit. There are three components that I believe that God speaks to his people. Sure, God speaks in many ways. People have heard him audibly. People have heard him through dreams, and people have been spoken to by God in visions. But three of the greatest components in which God speaks to his people. Number one, God speaks through mankind. Number two, God speaks through his spirit. And number three, God speaks through the conscience of man. I want to take these three components this morning, if it's all right. And I want to break them down to let you know that God is speaking to you, but you have to listen to the preacher that's preaching. God is trying to get in touch with us this morning, but you have to listen to the preacher that's preaching. God is trying to minister to us this morning in our sickness, and in our ailments, and in our insufficiencies, and in our time of despair. But the question is, can you hear the preacher preaching this morning? God speaks to us. He speaks to us through mankind, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, he said, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom knew not God. He said, but by God, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can I tell you why there's a voice of the preacher of the earth? There is a voice of the preacher so that you would know that Jesus is alive and well. There is a voice of the preacher so that you know that there is one God that sits on the throne. There is a preacher in the earth so that you would know that there was a voice that will steer you through the gates of heaven. There is a preacher in the earth so that you would know that you shall have life and have it more abundantly, because there is a voice, and God sent a preacher. Though it may be foolish, God sent a preacher. Though it may be hard in your ears, God sent a preacher. God has sent a preacher. Long live the preacher.
Yes.
God sent a man, God sent women throughout time to preach the word, that the word might be spread throughout the entirety of the body of the universe, that God will be proclaimed, that his word will be preached. But I want to step beyond the preacher this morning, beyond the preacher, because there are many preachers. There's always going to be a preacher preaching to you, but the question is he preaching the truth or not? There's always going to be a voice there in the world. There may be so many kinds of voices, and no voice is without signification. But the question is, whose voice are you listening to, and whose voice are you hearing? Because if there's any voice that I want to hear, I want to hear God speaking to me clearly. I don't want to miss the channel ways of heaven. I don't want to miss the preaching, because God is speaking. God's spirit is the second component of preaching. God's spirit is always speaking. If it's not from the man of God, if it's not from the pulpit, God's spirit speaks to us daily. I want to talk to everybody with the Holy Ghost. The reason why we must channel, we must build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, is because when you find a corner and you find a chair and you find a place to connect with God, it's not just the preacher that preaches, but the Spirit of God begins to move on your ears, and God's voice begins to talk to you. If you need a word right now, you get in the Spirit. If you want a voice to speak, you find the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says in John 16 and 13, he said, the Spirit of truth, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. I'm telling you, I'm glad that I have the Holy Ghost. Ghost this morning, that when I need God's voice at an uncertain time, I have the Spirit that will speak and say, you shall not go backward, but you shall move forward. I have the Spirit of God that say, though I may be with you through the ends of the earth, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thy Spirit, is what's with me, is what's guiding me, is what's leading me, is what's procuring me. God will speak through the preacher. God will speak through his Spirit. But I want to tackle a avenue of God's Spirit, the way that God has erected for us to be communed and communication with him. You see, from the very day that man had the introduction of the difference between good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve, as they had partaken from the fruit, it was then that moment that they opened up the airways of God's Spirit of communication through the conscience of man. There is a preacher that's preaching to every last one of us every single day. If it's not the preacher, if it's not the Spirit of God, if your Holy Ghost tank is running on empty, there will always be a preacher on the inside of you. Somebody say amen. There will always be a preacher that's preaching to you, that's telling you the difference between right and wrong, that's pushing you to the presence of God, that's trying to tell you that there's a God that loves you, there's a God that's seeking your heart, there's a God that's trying to get a hold of you. The conscience of mankind will always be preaching. Amen. There is a conscience in you and I that if you never heard a preacher preach, if you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, your conscience will always guide you to the path of righteousness. How do I know this? There's the old days that men would write and draw cartoon characters, and they would put a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and this was to symbolize the difference between good and evil, and the voice of the conscious man that tells you what's right and what tells you what's wrong. Can I tell you that through the creation of earth, man is without excuse, because you don't need a preacher to tell you what's wrong, because there's a preacher on the inside of you that says go right when your flesh is telling you go left. There's a preacher on the inside of you that, despite the world telling you that you don't need God, there's something on the inside of you that's drawing you and saying, though I feel self-reliant, I need Jesus. Though I feel self-sufficient, I need Jesus. I can't make it without him. I can't walk without him. I need the preacher on the inside to preach to me. Yes. Amen. Somebody say, long live the preacher. There is a conscience on the inside of you. And Paul said it like this in Romans 9:1. He said, I tell you the truth in Christ. He said, I lie not. Paul said, I want to tell y'all the truth. I want to tell you the truth if there's ever been a truth. He said, my conscience is bearing witness with the Holy Ghost. That means that there's a preacher on the inside of you, brother. And there's a preacher on the inside of you, sister, that when you don't know God, and when you're far away from God, there's a preacher saying you need to run to Jesus. There's a preacher on the inside of you that's saying the only one that can heal you is Jesus. There's a preacher on the inside of you and say we need to go to church. We need to find the man of God. We need to find the church of God. We need to find the preacher, because God is speaking.
That's right.
Amen. God is speaking.
That's right.
But the reason why I've declared this message this morning, there's something in my spirit, there's something deep down in my bones, because if there has ever been an adversarial attack, if there's ever been a spirit of the Antichrist that's trying to supersede and trying to press his way into the church, there is a spirit that if it could, it was silence the spirit of the preacher. It will silence the voice of God moving in the earth. But can I tell you that as kings rose and kings fell, there was a remnant that would say, long live the king. Because they knew as long as the king was in place, the kingdom was going to be all right. But can I tell you this morning, I feel something greater than the kingdom of man's kingdom. I feel something more powerful than the monarchy of man's wisdom. I feel something greater than the place of office of the political realm. I feel like preacher, long live the preacher. Long live the preacher. Long live the preacher. Because as long as the word of God, the spirit of God, the voice of God is in the earth will and can be saved.
That's right.
Oh, somebody clap your hands and love the Lord this morning. Somebody say, long live the preacher.
Long live the preacher.
If the world could, if the adversary could, he would and he will kill the preacher.
Yes.
You find this to be true that in 1 Kings 19, there is this adversarial spirit, the spirit called Jezebel, the wife of the king. She was dead set on her seductions, her spirits of seducing, to make sure that if she could, she would kill the preacher. There was a prophet by the name of Elisha that the Bible said that as Elisha operated in the power of God on Mount Carmel, and he was responsible for the death of the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the grove, it was one man of God. It was one preacher. It was one voice that destroyed the adversary. Can I tell you, if you ever need the Spirit of God to break chains in your life, that's why God sent a preacher. That's why God ordained the voice of God in the earth. He said every chain that the adversary would put on you, every stronghold of addiction, every stronghold of the adversary, God can break it through the foolishness of preachers.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And it took one preacher.
Yes.
One man of God with bones strong enough and a backbone sturdy enough to say, no matter what, I'm going to preach as long as I have breath in my body, so that the voice of God may be heard in the earth. But can I tell you that whenever there's a voice of a man that's preaching against sin, and a man that's preaching against the world and carnality, and the worldly lusts of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life, there will always be a voice that tries to kill the preacher.
Amen.
That's right.
And Jezebel, she sent a message. She said, by tomorrow, she said, that preacher that's preaching that word, that's preaching like he's preaching, he won't be alive to see another day. But can I tell you that just like there are voices in the world that will want to shut the mouths of truth, there is a voice in the earth that God's saying, the preacher shall not die. He shall live. You can't kill the preacher. You can't stop the voice of God. You can't stop the church. Because when one preacher dies, another preacher arises.
Yeah.
When one voice quits, another preacher preaches. I'm going to preach in the home. I'm going to preach in the streets. I'm going to preach where God called me to preach. Because long live, long live, long live the preacher. Was a king of great reputation, but just like all kings and all men, King Charles was not going to live forever. And they said, in order for this kingdom to continue, we have to have another king that rises up. We have to have somebody else to pass the mantle and the cloak of the kingdom. And he said, in order for this kingdom to survive, there has to be another king that takes his place. That the reason why we must walk as God has called us to walk is because if you don't preach the word, somebody else will. If you don't live this life, somebody else will. If you don't teach Bible studies, somebody else will. If you don't reach the lost, somebody else will. And I've made up my mind that I'm going to be the preacher, that I'm going to be the voice to say, God, when one preacher dies, let another one live. When one preacher ceases, let another one.
Yes, yes.
Long live the preacher.
Jesus, Jesus.
And so they coined the phrase, long live the king. Everybody shout it, long live the king.
Long live the king.
They made it to where this was a chant, this was a phrase that would be sung, that would bellow out in the echoes of the kingdom's hall. And so they would let the people know that the kingdom's not dead, the kingdom's not ending, the reign is not stopping. Can I tell you that the church is a part of an everlasting kingdom, that God's kingdom is expanding throughout the universe? And you can think that the church is over, but we're just getting started, because we serve a God that he's timeless in his wisdom, that he's endless in his power, that his voice, it carries out, that the sound waves of heaven, it will reach out through the earth until the earth is no more. There will always be a preacher. There will always be a preacher. Long live the preacher.
Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, Jesus.
There's always spirits of the adversary, spirits of seduction, and there'll be spirits of the world. Can I tell you that the reason why you can't allow your conscience to override the Spirit of God is because when you allow the conscience that is speaking to you to be overridden by your desires, it's that time that you kill the preacher on the inside of you.
Amen. That's right.
Can I tell you how sin works? It's that tugging in your heart to tell you that you're not doing right, and you know that's not right, and you know God is not pleased. You don't have to have the Spirit of God to hear that voice. You don't have to have the preacher to hear that voice. There's something deep down on the inside out of you, that when you look at your wife and you look at your children, you know you can be a better man, and you know you can be a better person. And it's that conscious man, the preacher on the inside of you, that's saying you gotta get right while you still got time. You gotta get to Jesus while you still got time. It's that preacher that's talking to you. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? It's the conscious man that's bearing witness with the Spirit, and he said, don't kill the preacher. Don't kill the preacher. Don't kill the preacher.
Yes, yes,
I feel the Holy Ghost coming out.
Yes,
he said, don't kill the preacher that's preaching to you. Can I tell you that when God's trying to pull on you and he's telling you to pray, can I tell you that that's not the devil? When God's trying to tell you that you need to open up the word and that you might find life, can I tell you that's not your flesh, but it's the conscious man, it's the Spirit of God that's preaching to you. He's trying to tell you God's reaching, God loves you, God's speaking, but can you hear without a preacher? Always been kingdoms that's been they've been tasked with killing the preacher.
That's right.
1 Samuel 22:8. It was King Saul that he was dead set and making sure that his kingdom stood despite the kingdom of God being the greater and superior kingdom that rules. Can I tell you that you cannot tell you what bitterness would do to you, and what jealousy and hatred and every spirit of the adversary would do to you? It will suppress the Spirit of God that's trying to preach on the inside of you, because Saul was a prideful man, and Saul said, if anybody's going to be king, I'm going to be king. If anybody's going to be king, there's nobody else going to sit on this throne but me. Can I tell you the danger of when you think that you're greater than God, and when you think that you don't need God, and when you're disobedient to the commands of God, you'll find out that you will do everything you can to silence the preacher. But can I tell you that when Saul, when he was standing in the court, and he commanded the death of 85 priests by the hand of Doeg the Edomite, I'm telling you there was still a king in the background by the name of David, and said, King, your rule won't be forever, but God's going to raise up another king. God's going to raise up another generation. God's going to raise up somebody else. Can I tell you that if you don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else, and he's going to say, long live the preacher. Long live the preacher. Long live the preacher.
Yes, 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 yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Because there has to be a voice in the earth. Somebody say a voice. There has to be a voice in the earth. There has to be a provision of safety and salvation. That if men can hear the word of God on YouTube, let it be so. If men can hear the word of God on Facebook, let it be so. If men can hear the word of God from an iPhone, let it be so. Let it be so. Why? Because God
is dead set on a preacher being in the earth and a voice being in the ears of people because he's saying, long live the preacher.
So what shall we do? Somebody say, what shall we do?
What shall we do?
I'll tell you what we shall do.
When God is pressing on you, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When God is tugging at your heart, do not ignore those subtle times that God speaks to you.
Do not ignore those moments that you feel like God is calling you to something greater, and you feel like God is pushing you to a deeper depth, and he's trying to restore your life. Can I talk to you that if you're in a backslidden state right now, don't you shuck off those feelings of a drawing to pray as just some emotional thing that's overcoming you. No sir, no ma'am. The reason why you feel like praying is because God is preaching to you. Your conscience is tugging at you. There's a voice that's saying pray. Talk to God. Reach out to the Savior. Reach out to God Almighty. There's a preacher on the inside of you that's saying you tried to do it your way. You tried to fix your problems. You tried to navigate through the trials of life on your own way, on your own mind, on your self-reliance and independence, but he said God is a God that he won't stop speaking to you. He said, Jonah, you won't miss it one time, but I'll come back the second time and I'll say the same thing again. Preach, preacher, preacher, preach, preacher, preacher, long live the preacher.
Can I tell you why we don't allow the preacher to be preserved? It's because the conscious man is what we allow to be seared, and we allow our conscience to be killed. I don't know where you are, but I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. You have to see that there are spirits that are trying to antagonize the church and trying to silence the preacher. But the greatest force of the preacher, the last line of defense of the preacher in the earth, is the conscience of the internal man. That if you don't hear the preacher in the pulpit, and if you and I don't hear the Spirit of God speaking, your last line of defense is the conscience that's on the inside of you.
Why the conscience? Because you and I have a conscience whether we have the Spirit of God or not. The conscience is still there.
It is the conscience that will live in eternity. It's the conscience that will live when this day and these times are over. It's the conscience, the very last preacher. There's going to be people that when it's all said and done, their conscience will be in eternity. And they wish that they had one more service to pray. They wish they had one more service to listen to the preacher. Wish that they had one more service to lift up the hands and praise the name of Jesus. And it's a conscious man that's going to preach over and over and over and over. And that's why we cannot kill the conscience.
1 Timothy 4 and 12, I want you to read it when you have it.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Yeah.
That in the latter time some shall depart from the faith.
Yes.
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
Listen to this. He said, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith.
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
And the reason why people are going to give way, and the reason why people are going to depart from the faith, is not because they're not good people, and not because they are not people that want to serve God, but the reason why people would depart from the faith, it's because they will give heed. They will listen to seducing spirits.
The spirit of Jezebel is always and shall always be the spirit that tries to silence the preacher. Keep reading, please.
And doctrines of devils.
And doctrines of devil. That's why you can't listen to just any preacher. Listen to the preacher that's preaching the truth. That's why we preach no other doctrine that except the man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why we preach no other doctrine, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other word, there is no other message, there is no other preaching, there is no other doctrine, because the doctrine of truth is the only doctrine that will save us.
Amen. Amen.
He said, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But watch this, listen.
Speaking lies, yeah. Hypocrisy.
Yeah. You said, God, I don't want to hear your voice. Every time God's telling you that you need to be in the house of God and you stay home, he's searing your conscience with a hot iron. Every time that your co-worker is telling you, you know what, you need Jesus. And you say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I'm not going to use it as a crutch. You're searing your conscience as a hot iron, and you're killing the preacher on the inside of you. But can I tell you right now that if there's anything that we can do, we need to preserve the preacher on the inside and say, Lord, let me know your will for my life. Let my mind be set on serving you. Let my heart be set on living for you. Let my soul be tethered to the house of God. Let my voice be cleaved to your voice. And let my ears hear your voice.
Amen.
Amen. I'm almost done preaching. Amen. No one likes a long-winded preacher, even on live stream. Somebody say amen. And I feel like God in this moment, in this time, in this day, that God is wanting us to preserve the remnant of the clergy, not just the remnant of the pulpit, not just the remnant of his spirit, but every voice that can preach, let that voice preach. Can I tell every saint of God that's listening right now that I understand the office, and I am not demonizing, diminishing, or degrading the office of the man of God. But can I tell you that God has called us to be preachers in the earth. You do not let the adversary intimidate you when you run into people that don't know God. When the Spirit of God will goes up on the inside of you. I want to tell you, saint of God, you let that preacher out, and you preach the word to every sinner that you come in contact with. You preach the word to everybody that does not know God. You better preach, that there'll be a preacher and there'll be a voice in the earth that men shall hear. There's two times in the word of God, and I'm almost done, there's two times in the word of God in which there was a preservation of the preacher, but that preservation not only preserved the preacher, but it preserved the earth. It was in the book of Kings, the widow at Zarephath was in a time of famine. Everybody shout famine. If we know anything about a famine, it looks kind of like right now. There's no food on the shelves, and there's peril. And there's a time in which people, they're scarce of hope, and they're scarce of joy, and they're scarce, and there's emptiness, and there's famine in the land. But the Bible says that when there was a famine in the land, that there still was a preacher. Still was a preacher. The Bible says that there was a widow at Zarephath, and she was at the point of death. The Bible tells us that she saw the prophet as he was passing in the streets. The word of God tells us that the prophet turned in toward her because the brook had dried up and God had no longer provided the ravens to feed him. So God had to make another provision for the man of God. But the word of God tells us that as he turned into her, the Bible tells us that he said, can you, I pray thee, make me a cake? And the widow's response to the prophet was, she said, I'm picking up sticks, and I only have two sticks. When I was younger, the Bible tells us that she said, I only have two sticks that I may go in and dress it and eat it and die. And I just said, man, how she's going to eat sticks? But the Bible's not saying she's going to eat sticks. She was using the sticks to build a fire so that she can make a cake. And she was going to make this cake for her and her son. And they were going to eat it. And they were going to die. And the word of God tells us that the man of God, he said, preadventure, make me a cake first. Everybody say first.
First.
Make me a cake first. And the word of God says that she said nevertheless, and she was going to make the cake for the man of God first. But can I tell you what happened when she made the cake for
for the man of God. The Bible tells us that she made this cake, this bread for the preacher. And so that the preacher might live, that the preacher might be preserved, that the preacher should not die. But what happened, that when the preacher lived, the Bible says that every day that she went back to the barrel of meal, that the meal stayed. And every time she went to make another cake, she still had meal and she still had bread. Can I tell you why the preacher cannot die in the earth? Can I tell you why the preacher shall live? Long live the preacher. It's because when the preacher is preserved, there'll always be bread in the earth. When the preacher is preserved, you think that you preserving the preacher is about you. No, sir, no, ma'am. When the preacher lives, you live. When the preacher is preserved, your life shall be preserved. When you take care of the man of God, when you take care of the voices, and you don't press your way, and you don't suck it aside, and you say, long live the preacher.
Yes.
It's when God can get a hold of you, and God can speak to you in your living room, and God can speak to you in your kitchen. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you're sitting. If you let the preacher live, the preacher will speak to you. If you let the preacher live, the preacher will talk to you. What is he saying? He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yes, yes, yes.
Everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be blessed, but can I tell you how you be blessed? You be blessed when you preserve the voice of the preacher. There was a certain woman in Kings, the Bible says that she saw Elijah coming through the city, just like Elisha. She saw the prophet coming through, passing through the city. The Bible said that she perceived that he was a man of God. Her husband, she said, I don't know who that man is, but I perceive there's something about him, and we need to take care of him. So the Bible says, she said, let us make therefore a chamber, because we want to take care of the voice of the preacher, so that every time the preacher comes by my house, every time the preacher knocks on my door, the preacher will have a place to live, and the preacher will have a place to reside. She said, let us make a chamber for the preacher. She said, let us put a stool, let us put a table, let us put a candlestick, so the preacher will have a place to turn therein when he comes to my house. Can I tell you this morning that through the power of the Holy Ghost, preaching goes beyond the pulpit. Preaching goes beyond the moving and the turning of the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you have the Holy Ghost. But there will always be a preacher knocking at your door. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man would hear my voice, I will come in unto him and I will sup with him and he with me. Can I tell you the greatest relational component that you and I have while we're still living is that the Spirit of God can speak to you wherever you are. I'm talking to people right now, you've lost your jobs because you are a non-essential employee. I'm talking to people right now that there's family members that are not well in body. And I'm talking to people right now, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know where your next meal's coming from. You don't know where your next paycheck's coming from. A stimulus package that's not enough. But can I tell you that when the earth is in famine and in our days of despair, there will always be a preacher preaching. And I feel like telling the days of the people of God, long live the preacher. Long live the preacher. Let God speak to you. Let God talk to you. Wherever you are, say, God, my heart is open. My mind is open. That I can feel your Spirit. I want to pray more than I ever prayed. I want to cry more than I ever cried. I want to weep. I want to touch God. I want to hear the preacher.
Yes. Yes.
Go Come on, right wherever you are, I want you to connect with the Holy Ghost. I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to begin to pray and say, God, let your spirit speak to me. God, in the comfort of my home, in the comfort.
Praise God. There's always been a preacher. God had a preacher in the days when the earth was so wicked that he was going to wash it all away. There was a man by the name of Enoch that was a preacher of righteousness. There was a man by the name of Noah that was a preacher of righteousness. God's always had a preacher. Jesus was the consummate preacher. Jesus was the apex preacher. But the only preacher that'll ever do you any good is the preacher that you let in, the preacher that you'll hear, that you'll listen to. I'm preaching to somebody today. Brother Williams has brought a word in the house today. But I want you to know the only preacher that does you any good is the preacher that's alive in your heart and alive in your house. Ah, let him in today. Let the word of God in. The only word of God that's going to do you any good today is the word that's down in your heart. The word that's going to preach inside your spirit. You got to let the word in today. You got to let that preacher into your heart today. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift up every hand. Let's lift up every voice. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to preach today. Let's ask the Word of God to come into my life, into my home, into my family. Let's invite the presence of God into our hearts today. Hallelujah. 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 God always has a preacher. But the only preacher that can reach you is the preacher you let in. Somebody open the door today. Somebody let him in today. Somebody say yes to the word of God today. Ah, lift up every hand, every voice. Hallelujah. 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 Mighty God. Yes, 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 yes.
Lord, I agree.
I give you praise. I magnify you, O God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to 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 God. Ah, somebody reach out and get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Praise God. Little voice. Praise God. You need to hear the word of God today. Judas had the greatest pastor. Judas had the greatest preacher. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. But the only preacher that'll do you any good is the preacher that you let in and that you will hear. Jesus' refrain was, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let him that hath an ear hear today. It's an active pursuit, this business of hearing. You have to say yes to the Word of God. When the Word of God knocks on your heart, whether it's the preacher outside of you or the Word of God down on the inside of you, you need to say yes. You need to say amen. Somebody right now needs to find a place to kneel, a place to pray, a place to weep. Somebody right now needs to find a place to say yes to God. Right now, somebody needs to find a place to say, I have a lot of voices talking in my head. I have a lot of voices that are speaking in my life. But let me dig through the clutter right now and let me hear the voice of the preacher. Let me hear the voice of the Word of God. When Jesus was teaching about the Word of God, he likened it unto bread. And that business of Jesus feeding the multitude, it was It was about the word of God and how it works. It comes from the hands of the Savior himself. He blesses it. He breaks it. And then he puts it into the hands of his preachers. And his preachers bring God's word for you. There's a word in this house today specific to your life and your family and your need and your prayers. There's a word of God, but you've got to show up where he is. And you've got to reach out and take that word. And then you've got to eat it. You've got to take it into your life and assimilate it and let it become a part of your, a part of every part of your life. You've got to take the word of God today and take it into your home and take it into your family. You got to say yes to it. God's calling somebody right now. The power of the word is in the earth. It always had been. But there are so many that won't listen. They won't hear the word. They won't hear the preacher. But somebody out there is hungry today. And somebody's saying, I want that bread. I want that bread that feeds the soul. I want that bread that'll help my house. I want that bread that'll save my children. I want that bread that'll heal my marriage. I want that preached word of God that'll make me ready when God comes. I want the preacher in my life today. Come on, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to the word of God. Say amen. Say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We magnify you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. I appreciate so much the word of God in the house today. I have a personal stake in this. I was amening when he was saying, long live the preacher. But what he's really preaching about is not a singular life. He's preaching about the word of God in the earth and God's accepted methodology. Today, I want a preacher in my life. I want to hear it. I want to embrace it. I want to make room for it. Be like the little couple there in the Old Testament story. I'm going to make room for that word of God in my life. I'm going to make room for that preacher in my life. I'm going to give him a place where he can come anytime he wants into my home, into my heart. I want God to knock on my door in the middle of the night and talk to me. He has access to my dreams. He can come into any moment in my life. I need to hear from God. Is there anybody here that can say, I need a word from God? I need to hear from God. We want God to have his way with us. So these are very interesting days. These are prophetic days. These days of pestilence in our country. And it should be a great time of revival. So to every apostolic family, I say, sink your roots. Make your house your chapel. Make your kitchen table your place where the word of God goes forth. Make your living room a place of worship and praise. And let's sink our apostolic roots deep into these days so that we have nourishment when the times get hard. Let me tell you something. You know what this is? This is a green tree. And Jesus said, if they can't stand in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? You know what this is? These are the footmen. And he says, if you can't stand when the footmen come, what will you do when the horsemen arrive? I want you to know, these are easy days of trouble. But you need to sink some roots, because when the real trouble starts, it's only those that have roots deep in the kingdom of God that are going to be able to live. But if you do, word of God says, they that do know their God, they shall do exploits. These are those kinds of days. So church, let's dig in. If you're not a part of New Life, but you've been involved with these studies and these services, I want to tell you, we've got a place for you. God's got a promise for you. You can receive the Holy Ghost right where you are right now. All you've got to do is repent of your sins, lift up your hands, and begin to praise and magnify God. And God will fill you, and you'll know it, because you'll begin to speak in another language that you never learned in school. And when that happens, or if conviction floods your heart and you want to know what to do, we'll meet with you here. We'll pray with you. We'll come to where you are, and we'll will show you the way to repentance, and we'll be privileged and honored to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We can still have gospel. We can still have transformed lives in the middle of this pestilent season. Praise God. Church, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to have church again tonight. And we'll be gathering for prayer around 6 o'clock, and we'll have an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you.